yea, would you give us handfuls of purpose from your word, from your spirit. Lord, I'm asking you that you would empty me, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with the spirit, the power of God, give me an unction to preach boldly the word of God. Touch each hearer tonight, Father. I pray, God, that your word would not fall upon deafened ears tonight. Lord, I believe that you have something to speak to your people. And Lord, the devil has fit me all day long. Don't preach that. They're bored with it. Go somewhere else. Do something else. Lord, help me then to be bold and preach, identifying the problem, the source of the problem, and God, show yourself to be the answer and the cure, the remedy, I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. May I just start tonight by saying the devil is real? The devil is a decided fact. He's a destructive force. But I want to say, thank God, he's a defeated foe. Amen. Have you ever run right into the devil? Some of you say, well, hey, Preacher Darren, he doesn't bother me a whole lot. Then you need to turn around. What do you mean turn around? You might be walking with him. But if you turn around and get opposite the way he's going, you'll find out that he's a real devil. And I'm telling you, he will give you trouble. But I'm glad greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. I'm glad that God said, if God be for us, who can be against us? We see in Jerusalem, captivity came. The enemy came and they destroyed the walls of Jerusalem. And they burnt the gates with fire. They took the people off into captivity, held them there 70 years in that place. And when the people of God come back, I'm telling you, it's a wasteland. There's debris, fallen walls, gates burned with fire. There is a problem. Rubbish, ruins are on every hand. Enemies now occupy the land. I'm telling you, a famine was all around them. They were in all kinds of trouble. And God called a man by the name of Nehemiah, 900 miles away in Shushan the palace, the king's cupbearer. God burdened his heart to leave that position, the lap of luxury, and go down and get to work and lead the people to start building the walls. I want to tell you what, when he got there and he rode through, the very beast that he was riding could not even pass through because there was so much rubbish and decay. He stood up and began to preach to the people and tell them what God had called them to do. And the people said, let us arise and build. Amen. But immediately the enemy, the forces of evil heard that and said, let us arise and blast them. The people of God had a mind to work, but the enemy had a mind to wreck. It's amazing how the devil has traps and he tries to entangle you. Sometimes you can see his traps, and sometimes he has snares, those things that are hidden, amen, and he tries to hide us. But I'm glad that we're warned in the Word of God, amen, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. May I say tonight that this book that you have in your hand, your Bible, how many of y'all have your Bible tonight? Hold it up. Amen. I always say, anybody here got a red Bible? Hold it up. Well, mine's been red, amen. Amen. And I want to hold it up tonight and say that your Bible is not out of date. It is the most up-to-date, modern work that we have. It's even more modern and more accurate than today's newspaper. The Word of God is perfect. When I look at chapter number 6 in the book of Nehemiah, I want to say just a couple things. I have a few sub-points and we're going to be done. Number 1, I want you to see the accomplishment of the work in verse number 1. Nehemiah has been leading the people to build. And after there's been much opposition, although there's been much opposition, Nehemiah and the Jews have builded the wall. And it's almost complete. May I say this? I believe it is a work of hope. Keep in mind, for 70 years they've been away. When they come back, there's breaches, destruction on every hand. And now they've worked and labored and they see there is an accomplishment being done. The homeland is being restored. There should be much excitement. It's a work of hope. There is a wall of help that is now being built. That wall represents separation, protection, identification. Those walls are going up to the point that the Bible says there's no breach. Look at it, verse 1. There is no breach therein in the wall. Say amen right there. But then we get a word of humility. A parenthetical statement, some inside information. Though at that time, I had not set up the doors upon the gates. He said, just to be honest, though we've got help, the wall's being built, the doors are not yet up. There's still some open places where the enemy can come and go as he will. I'm glad Nehemiah said that because Nehemiah is not overconfident. There's a danger there. He was mindful that there's more to be done and we've got to set these doors up. So may I show you tonight that right there's still some open doors. Amen? Number two, let us see the attack on the work. Sanballat in verse number 2 and Geshem sent to Nehemiah and said, come, let us meet together in some of the villages of the plain of Ono. They thought to do me mischief. My daughter was asking me this afternoon. She said, Dad, what are you going to preach tonight? I told her, I said, I'm preaching about resisting Satan's schemes. And started talking about these first four verses. And I said, I could just see old Sanballat said, hey, Nehemiah, leave that work you're doing up there and let's have a friendly meeting. Come on down here and let's just talk together. Meet me in the plain of Ono. And can you hear Nehemiah say, oh, no, I'm not coming down. I said, you know what ought to title this message tonight? Oh, no, you didn't. That's what I'll preach tonight, amen. I think of some of the poison arrows, some of the fiery darts of the devil that he's already shot at Nehemiah. Some of the tools, some of the dirty tricks that the devil has used to try to get Nehemiah to stop the work and overthrow the work of God. The enemy does not want those walls to be built. The enemy does not want those gates to stand back up there. You remember the first thing they did back there in chapter number 4? He started with, I'm going to start with the letter D if you're writing it down. He started with derision. He started laughing. He said, these feeble Jews. He started ridiculing. He started mocking them. He started laughing at them. And immediately, amen, as he tries to mock them for what they're doing, he's thinking, if I laugh at them, if I ridicule them, they'll stop. You know how it is in school. Your friends, they laugh, they poke fun, it's amazing, and it tears you down and tears you up. They're hoping it'll cause you to quit. But Nehemiah didn't fold up because someone laughed at him. The derision did not stop the man of God. I'm telling you, there'll be people that while I preach, they'll cross their arms. I've seen them wag their heads. I mean, Brother Earl Farley told me about some that stuck their tongue out at him while he was preaching, and God killed them that night. He told the lady at the front door as they were going out, she just looked at him. He said, God's going to kill you. Imagine your pastor standing at the back door to shake your hand, and your pastor say, prepare to die. God's going to kill you. And he did before the day was over. A smothering demon came upon the lady. They rushed her to the Memphis hospital and she expired that very evening. I'm just telling you, there's some things you ought not to be mocking and making fun of the man of God. There was a time that they mocked the man of God and God ran some she-bears out of the woods and tore a bunch of young people all to pieces. I'm telling you, you better not mock the things of God. But the enemy, he's a fool. And so he's with derision, laughing and making fun. And then he tried discouragement. Judah, the Bible said in chapter 4, verse number 10, he said, the strength of the bears is decayed and there's much rubbish, so we're not able to build the wall. They were halfway done. They got discouraged. And some of us, we get discouraged. They got weary of the work. They got weighted down. They were completely wrought out. And remember, Nehemiah gave the battle cry, remember the Lord! And the people began to work and fight for the cause of God and for their sons and for their daughters, for their wives, for their families. They got busy. So there's derision. There's discouragement. Then there's danger. The adversaries say, hey, at a time when you're not prepared, we're going to come in and we're going to slay you. We're going to kill you. Oh, there's been times that I got out of the pulpit, shook hands at the back door, and I've had people push me into a wall. I had one guy stick his finger almost up my nose, yelling, screaming, hollering, threatening my life. I've had people punch the back of my car mad because I said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They don't like it that Jesus is the way. They want Him to be a way, but not the only way. Honey, not my words, but Jesus' words. I won't back down, or I won't back up. Jesus is the way. I had gone to preach at a church up towards Winston-Salem, a good-sized church. I was there. There was a man walked in, was about 7 feet tall, sat down on the second row right behind me. The choir was up singing. I turned around and looked at him, thought, praise God. I said, son, if there's a fight tonight, will you be on my side? He looked up at me and he said, preacher, are you expecting trouble? It's my first time here. I said, oh boy, I picked a good. Guess what God did that week? I made a friend right there and that boy got saved that very week. He said, I've never heard about Jesus, never heard the gospel, amen. And he came in and said, I came in tonight to hear some singing, amen. And he got to hear preaching and made a friend with a preacher. And God saved him, amen. I'm telling you what, Jesus is the way. And the enemy will do all he can with derision, with discouragement. He will use danger, threats. Remember who the devil is. Jesus said in John 8:44 that he is a murderer. That's why he's not just a liar and a deceiver and a hurler, but he is a murderer. His job tonight is to try to intimidate us. He wants to destroy you and kill you. But Nehemiah, he put one hand with a trowel, the other hand with a sword, and he went to work and he kept building that wall. Though their threats were imminent, he stayed busy and they said, let's continue to build. You got your Bible? Look in chapter 5, verse number 1. This is the next thing he tried, chapter 5, verse 1. There was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. You know what that is? That's discord. He gets the people who are fatigued and weary, and they start arguing amongst themselves. I know churches that argue amongst themselves. I went to one church, they were arguing about the roof, the color of the shingle. On one side they put black, on the other side they put brown to satisfy the people. I preached there. Preacher, you didn't? Yes. That's what they did. I'm telling you, I've seen people argue over the color of the toilet paper. I've seen people argue over which Sunday school class that a certain teacher ought to be in. So much so that they got upset and had a heart attack and died. I'm telling you, what you get tore down and upset about, what you take so personal. Listen, these things on this earth are frivolous. This world's not our home. Don't argue about these things. I told our people when we were building the new building, I said, look, paint it any color you want to. Just give me more room to preach where people can come and get saved. Amen. Not worried about all the colors and all these things. We get tore up over the wrong thing. You see, the enemy is trying to sow discord and division. You know what he says? Divide and conquer. That's what he wants to do. Nehemiah, in this chapter, he teaches his people that there are no problems too big to solve. Just people too small to solve them. And Nehemiah found out what the problem was, causing the discord, causing the division, causing the dissension. He faced it, he fought it, and he solved it. Now look with me in verse number 3 of this chapter 5. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There's a famine. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute. You see that? And that upon our lands and our vineyards. And it's going to go on and talk about the bondage they got in because of the interest rates. That is, the devil brought them to a time of depletion where he's trying to take away their resources, get them worrying, get them in debt, cause financial problems. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Devil don't want me to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. You are facing a financial issue, and you're waiting for God to speak from heaven to tell you about what you need to do. I remember a time in my life, my wife and I, we had 2 car payments. We bought a house that we couldn't afford, had credit card bills. I can remember going to church, oh God, what am I going to do? God said, you should have listened to me to start with, and now you're going to learn a real lesson. And in chapter 5, I wish I had time to preach this tonight, but in this chapter 5, Nehemiah taught them the principles of financial freedom. And let me tell you something. You're going to find out that finances for a church, insufficient funds, never stop the work of God. High interest rates, all this stuff, gas prices, you worried about stock market up, stock market down. I'm telling you, you worried about the wrong things, amen. You got to work well, we're a church, we need a special deal. Honey, listen to me. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Who knows if He may sell one or two and give them to you, amen. No telling what it's worth. Listen, there's a preacher who was over an orphanage, had hundreds of kids. His secretary came and said, I want you to know that today we don't have enough money for any milk or any bread. I don't know what we're going to feed these children. But at that time there came a knock on the door and they answered it while the preacher was praying and said, listen, my milk truck broke down in front of the orphanage and all this milk, all these bottles are going to go bad. Could y'all use some free milk? Whoa! Amen. At that time, they came in with bread and said, listen, my truck's broke down about a block away. All this bread's on there, fresh bread. And they put it on carts and they just rolled it. Them kids got fresh milk and fresh bread when all they did was start praying and say, God, you said you'd provide for me. And God stopped heaven and earth and moved a milk truck and bread truck right in and provided it for them fresh. Honey, I'm telling you, the devil will get you worried about depletion. Oh, there's 5,000 people we got to feed. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But them 2 fishes is just sardines. And them 5 loaves of bread is just Ritz crackers. What is this amongst so many? And Jesus said, give them to me. Amen. We're not going to disperse this crowd hungry because of insufficient funds. I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to bless it. Father, thank you that you provided more than enough to meet the need. He broke it and they fed 5,000 and all their wives and all their little ones, maybe 20,000 people. And when they were done, they took up 12 baskets full of leftovers. The word is kafenas. It's as big as a coffin. 5 loaves and 2 fishes wouldn't have filled 12 baskets full to start with. Amos, y'all look at me like I'm crazy, but you read the Word of God and you know what my God can do, amen. Listen, the devil gets you worried about depletion. What are we going to do? Take it to God. Look at chapter 5. I wish you could study deep in chapter 5 about the principles of financial freedom. But I come to chapter 6. I see the distraction. 6 things. Derision, discouragement, danger, discord, depletion, distraction. Now, here's what happens. If the devil can't defeat you as a roaring lion, roar! He couldn't scare you. You've not quit. You're still active. You're still building the wall. You're still with us, helping us to build. So if he can't distract you as a roaring lion, watch him. Because he can transform himself into an angel of light and pretend to be your buddy and pretend to be your friend. He's proposing, let's have a friendly meeting. Let's sit down and have a come together meeting. We'll talk this over and it'll be all right. He's trying to distract. He's trying to delay the Word of God. Reminds me of the hunter that was going bear hunting and he saw the bear and he started to pull the trigger and the bear put up both paws and said, wait just a minute. Let's talk about this. Everybody knows that I need a meal and you need a fur coat. And after talking about it, that's exactly what happened. The bear got the meal, and the man had a fur coat. You'll get that in a minute, amen. Nehemiah was wise enough to realize that this meeting that they're summoning him to is a meeting to do him mischief. Do you see it in verse number 2? It is a conference to compromise. And Nehemiah is not fooled. He knew There was mischief in the program. May I say this? That Nehemiah understood they were trying to call him off of that wall to cause him to stop the work that was about to be completed. I'm reminded of my Savior who was dying upon Calvary's cross. I look this verse up and Matthew 27:42, as Jesus hung there, let's turn to it. As Jesus hung there on the cross, I want you to see what they said to him in Matthew 27:42. We'll just have Bible study 101 tonight. They said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross and we will believe Him. You see that? What are they doing? They're trying to get Him, to call Him, to come down off the cross. How many of y'all know tonight? He came to die on that cross. Surely the world wants Him to come down off that cross. Do you see how they're trying to bait Him? Trying to stop the work of God. Just as much as they tried to stop the work of God with Jesus on the cross, they're trying to stop Nehemiah's work upon the wall. And the world is trying to distract you with smoke screens and delays to keep you distracted from the work of God in your life right now tonight. May I say this? When a church or a work for God becomes successful, the enemy who's tried to stop it, watch out, will try to join it. And if the world can't stamp you out, they want to entangle you and join up with your alliance. That's what they want. You ever read in the Bible about the seed, the sower went forth to sow the seed? The seed is the Word of God. We know the sower is the Lord Jesus Christ as He sows the seed. And it fell on four kinds of soil. One was compacted soil, crushed soil, right? But guess what? There, one of those soils, as that soil was received the seed and as it growed up, guess what? It turns into this great big, this mustard seed turns this great big bush, right? And as it turns this big bush, the birds of the air lodge there. And you may say, woo, all these birds, it's so good to have. Remember, birds, what do they eat? Seed. The birds join to take away the seed so that others can't get it. You see what I'm saying? They want to join up. Be careful about that. Win them first. Make sure they've had a salvation experience, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thirdly, as the enemy has used these six tactics thus far, we come to verse 3 and we see Nehemiah's attitude towards the work. Verse 3, I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. I don't have time to preach this, but do you see his devotion? Do you see his discernment? Do you see his determination? The devil would like to distract this church tonight from the work that's being done and from the work that still needs to be done. I'll get in trouble for saying this, but I've got to say it. I know of churches tonight that spend every service, rather than preaching the gospel, talking about what they're going to do to get clean water and clean wells in India. And if you're that, God bless y'all. I love y'all. You're doing a great work. But I'm telling you, while that is good, to get clean wells for people in India, you're missing what is best, which is the Great Commission, preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth. And if in our churches we're not preaching the Word of God, telling them how Jesus loves them, Jesus took upon Himself their sins, our sins. He shed His blood so that our sins might be washed away, that He might make atonement for our sins. And He died in our place. And on the first day of the week, He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That is the gospel. If we're not preaching the gospel, church, we're missing what is best. Sometimes in our Sunday school classes, we'll get so tied up with the water, cleansing, purifying water, and all these other nations, that you miss what's going on right under your very own steeple. Jesus went to the house of Mary and Martha. Amen? And when he got there, the Bible says that Mary sat at his feet and listened to his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And listen, she was so frustrated and so fatigued and so upset, she told Jesus what to do. No, she didn't. Lord, bid her, tell her to help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. You're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part. What is the good part, church? It's to get at the feet of Jesus. Every time you see Mary, she's at the feet of Jesus. She's listening to Him. She's learning of Him. She's worshiping and loving Him. Amen. I'm just telling you, church, our job is to get at the feet of Jesus, then get out and serve. But we're missing the best part because we want to do the good part. Today, as I studied, I had two situations come up and said, this needs to be taken care of. Hey, this red light, red over here, this needs to be taken care of. Both were good causes that justified my time. And as I was writing this down, God said, that's good, but have discernment about what's best for your life. Do you want me to feed those people or not? You stay in this Bible, stay in this Word, keep praying and seeking my face, and I'll help you there. I'll take care of the other things. I want you to get the best part. I have a question tonight, sir. I have a question tonight, ma'am. What is the best part for your life? Did you know what is good is an enemy of what is best? The devil wants you to get distracted. The devil wants you to step away from what God's called you to do something that's supposedly good. Ma'am, what is the great work God called you to? Sir, what is the work God's called you to? The world beckons. There you are working. And the world beckons and says, hey, over here, you can be successful. Join up with us. Be part of what's going on over here. Nehemiah said, oh no, I'm not coming down. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work of God cease when I leave it to do something less? Your pastor would have to take a step down to be the president of the United States. Four people said amen. I love you four. Your pastor would have to take a step down to be a congressman, a senator, or a governor. God has called this man to preach to us the truths and the precepts of the infallible, inspired Word of God. What He has in His hand and what He has in His heart to preach to you is life-changing. Don't be distracted by things that are good and miss what is best for your life. Ma'am, what is best for you? Can't get off this. Sir, what is best for you? God's trying to show you. It may not be what you want to do, but it's what God has called you to do. Don't be so foolish as to be flattered by this world. God has a plan and a place for you. You're special to accomplish His purpose. Let Him do that in your life tonight. Do not substitute what's good for what's best. You see that? Don't get distracted tonight. Buildings must be built. Monies must be raised. But to win the lost is best. The book of Mark. It's not my notes. Book of Mark. The book of Mark. Please turn there with me. Chapter number 1. Jesus is going about preaching and teaching and doing great works and great deeds. And the Bible says in verse 34, say amen when you found it. Mark 1:34. He healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. How many of y'all know that Jesus is a miracle worker? Every hospital he went to, he healed everybody. Every funeral he went to, he broke them up. Amen. He raised them up. Bible says, verse 35, the next morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and he prayed. And Simon, that's Simon Peter, and they that were with him followed after him. And when they found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. The next morning, Jesus is out praying, and there's a huge crowd that's gathered. They've got cancers, leukemia, broken bones. They've got all blindness, deafness. They've got all kinds of issues. That crowd has gathered together. All men seek for thee. Verse 38. He said to them, let us go to the next town, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Whoa, 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 wait, 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 wait a minute, preacher. I've got all these people here needing a miracle of physical healing. But that's not why he came. Those things are good. You four, I'm talking to y'all. Do you think that those things are good? But Jesus left to do what's best. Look, go back. The book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Chapter number 18. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Verse number 11. If you don't have the right kind of Bible, this verse ain't even in your Bible. But if you've got a King James, this is what it's going to say. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How many of y'all think that's a major omission for a Bible to leave out? Just saying. I've examined that. You might be getting distracted right there. The Son of Man is come to save. He didn't come to heal physical ailments. He can do all that. That's good. Do you know why he came? He came to give his life so your soul can be saved, so your sins can be forgiven, so that you can go to heaven. How many of y'all know being healed because you needed a heart bypass or a cancer or whatever, and being healed of those things doesn't give you eternal life? It's a temporary miracle. That's good, but it's not what's best. I was going to take time. I was teaching. Every afternoon I have, on Monday afternoons, I would have a group of students, K-1 for 30 minutes to teach Bible. Second and third grade, 30 minutes to teach Bible. Fourth and fifth grade, 30 minutes to teach Bible. Okay? And I'm teaching them lesson. And one of the second graders raised her hand and said, preacher, I have a question. Question of a second grader. But okay, how hard is this going to be? Preacher Darren, why doesn't God just kill the devil? Because if I was God, I'd just kill the devil and it'd be over. You're in. What am I going to say? Help us, Jesus. I'm in trouble. I breathe a prayer like Nehemiah did. Oh, God, help me to say the right thing right here. Immediately my mind went to, God said, I can do exceeding abundantly above you all you can ask or think. And you just ask me for an answer. Here it comes. I looked at her and I said, you know, while asking for God to kill the devil is a good request, God did better. He killed his son. He did exceeding abundantly above what we could ask. And then he killed his son. He kills the devil. I'm still a sinner. But if he slays his son to take and wash my sins away and die in my place and raises him back on the first day of the week, I have life everlasting. Do not be distracted by what the devil wants you to do that's good and forsake that which is best. Are you with me? And Nehemiah, I'm telling you, Nehemiah, go back to our text. I've drifted far away, but I see the attitude that he had for the work. He understands what the devil is trying to do to him. Now, I'm almost finished. Last point. I want you to see then the devil, he doesn't stop just because Nehemiah has resisted and resisted and resisted his scheme, but he's going to continue the assault on the work. Fourthly, the assault on the work. Verse 4 says, they sent unto me four times after this sort. And every time he said, oh no, oh no, oh no, I'm not coming down to you. Verse 5, now the devil goes to defamation. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. How many of y'all know that when you send a letter in the U.S. mail, you usually seal it, put a stamp on it? But this is an open letter. It's like a letter to the editor. I want everybody to know, oh, no, no, that I'm not happy, happy, happy. And that Nehemiah is a phony. He's a fraud. He's a counterfeit. He's trying to make a name for himself. He's trying to rebel. He's trying to set up his own kingdom here. That's why he's building this wall and these gates to keep us out, because he wants to be king himself. Preacher, that's not what he said. Got an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it. Bless God, who's Gashmu? Gashmu's not on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. Bless God, I don't care nothing about what Gashmu has to say. But Gashmu says it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. Thou hast appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem. Do you see this? They're slandering him. They're trying to embarrass him. Have you ever been lied on? Have you ever been slandered? Have they ever tried to discredit your character? Defame your reputation? That's what the devil does. He begins to assault the work of God. One little boy was praying. He was trying to say the Lord's Prayer. And he said, forgive us our trash baskets. There's a lot of truth in that statement. Forgive us our trash baskets, amen. I just want to say that Nehemiah, verse 8, I sent unto him saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. I want to tell you what Percy Ray told me personally as just a young man. He's standing there talking to some folks that I was with, and they had lied on him and slandered him and did everything they could to ruin him. I mean, one time he went down to a hardware store and bought all this woodwork and all these things to go and build a church. And he pulled out a check, and the proprietor of the business said, I hope you ain't like that Percy Ray. I heard he don't pay for nothing. I've heard he owes every hardware store around here everything he's got. He wrote the check with the church's name on it, filled it out, spun it around, and he said, Percy Ray, will there be any problem? No, sir, Mr. Ray, your money's good here. Brother Ray wouldn't even dedicate a church without it being 100% paid for before he ever dedicated it. They lied and slandered Brother Percy. This is what he said. He said, I don't worry about it. You know why? Because it's lies. And lies can't really hurt you. They don't break no bones. They don't hurt you. Their ridicule, their laughter, their scorn, their mockery, those things, they're definitely, it's not going to hurt you. He said, you only worry when what they say is true. Are you with me? The devil's trying to defame the work at Fletcher First Baptist Church. Ah, them people down there, uppity up, they don't care. Listen, don't be sidetracked. Don't be frightened away by slanderers. Anybody that's really serving God, if the devil would slander our Lord, the servant is not above his master. They'll slander you. They said Jesus was a wine bibber. They said Jesus was a glutton. They said Jesus was in a league with the devil himself. All slander! Look at verse 9. They made us afraid. This is dismay. Saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. You see what? They're threatening them. They're causing them to have dismay. And Nehemiah, they're after you. Nehemiah, you better run for your life. Nehemiah, you better not show up for church on Sunday. Nehemiah, you better not be part. Listen, you know what Isaiah 41:10 says? Be not dismayed, For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He's saying, don't you be afraid. Don't you be intimidated by the world's threats. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can I ask you something tonight? Question personal. Are you a worrywart? I started to title it that too. This is for the worrywarts. Are you a worrywart? Do you worry about everything? I do. Let's be honest with God. He knows whether how many times you've run up the white flag and said, oh God, I don't know who he is. Worry, worry, worry. Don't trust him. Don't trust. I'm telling you, we worry way too much. You know what Nehemiah did? Look what he did. He said, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Lord, they think my fear is going to turn to trembling and quaking, and I'm not going to be able to stand up. God, strengthen my hands. I thought about Joseph. Joseph. And his daddy said, he talked about how Joseph, as the archer, would draw back the bow. Dad, stand up. Stand up, man. Please, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Can you just imagine my daddy? My daddy's going to teach me how I'm going to shoot a bow in air. And as I draw back, I put your hands over mine. Pull it like this, son. His daddy taught him, right? Your daddy ever teach you how to ride a bike? Your father has his hands that much upon your life. When you draw back the bow, the father's hand's upon you. He's there to teach you, show you, instruct you. He says, don't you be afraid. But come back, Dad. Don't you be afraid. Steady, boy. There ain't nothing me and you together can't face. And after all, son, let me stand in front. Let me do it for you, boy. Woo! Hallelujah to God! I've got a father who has taken upon himself my burden and my issues to steady my quaking hands. Hallelujah to God. That's not my notes. I think about then deception, and I'm done right here. Deception. There's this guy in verse 10. He come to the house of Shemaiah, and he's the son of Deliah and Mehatabel, who was shut up and said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. Here's this guy that comes down and says, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to find shelter. You need to go in the house of God, shut the doors behind you, and there you'll be safe. Because Nehemiah, they're going to kill you. Leave the work alone. Get in there, cower, hide in fear. They're trying to trick him into sin. And therefore, when he does wrong, they'll tell everybody what he's done. Come here, Preacher Darren. This is a priest that has been hired by Sanballat, Tobiah, and that crowd, and saying, go down there and deceive him and get him to go in the temple. What it means is you're going to a place that only a priest is qualified to go into. Nehemiah is not a priest. Nehemiah is a layman with a trowel and a sword. He knows he doesn't belong in the house of God in that particular area. They're trying to trick him and trip him up. Now, I'm just, Preacher Dan, I don't really think that's what's happening right there. I think they're trying to deceive him. Verse 11, I said, should such a man as I flee? Who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Do you see that?
You're going to have some discernment. I have a lot of people like to talk to me. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. When Nehemiah heard this, he said, you know what? Ding, ding, ding. That's not just square with the Word of God, what they're telling me to do. If that's from God, He wouldn't be telling me it's okay to sin. Have some discernment about you. Pastor, Dad, we had on a Sunday morning service, people over here, the altar was full, 3 and 4 rows deep. On this side, full, 3 and 4 rows deep. They were down the aisle way over here, down the aisle way over here. They were down the center aisle. I couldn't tell you, probably 12 or 13 people had been saved thus far. And people just continued to come and seeking God. I mean, it was just one of them services. Y'all know what I'm talking about. One of them services. And here comes this woman down the center aisle. I don't know her. She's coming down the center aisle, on her way through. And she walks up to me and I thought, okay, she's going to ask me to pray for her. Or maybe she needs to be saved. Maybe she's got a burden for her family. Maybe there's sickness. I don't know what it is. She said, I need to speak with you. I cut the mic on mute. She goes, God showed me that I'm to walk down this aisleway, and wherever I stop, the person on that pew is lost and needs to be saved. And I need you to tell them what I'm going to do. And I thought, ding, 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 ding. That's not what the Bible says. That's not how it's done. See, the Holy Ghost goes against people and convicts them of their sin. Amen? And they have a free choice whether to ask Jesus to save them or say, no, I don't want it. My God's a gentleman. And now she's, you know what I did? I said, ma'am, and God just told me that if He didn't tell you to do this and you're doing it on your own, He's going to kill you. Did God tell you? I had clearance. You know what she did? Sat down on the front row and went completely silent the rest of the service. Now, I've never seen her again. I do know that there are times we've entertained angels unaware for the glory of God. But could it be that the angel called the devil transformed himself to an angel of light to try to stop and distract what was going on in that service? God, stop. I'm telling you tonight, church, you better try the spirits and know whether they be of God. Verse 15, though the wall was finished. Somebody shout hallelujah right there. Amen! The wall was finished! Despite all of Satan's schemes, God's work was completed! Woo! And it came to pass, verse 16, that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were with about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they, underline it, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God, of our God. This was a work of our God. You couldn't explain it by promotion, propaganda, personnel, psychology. The only thing that's going to explain that is the power of God. And I want to be involved in something that's supernatural, done by the almighty power of God. I'm hungry to see the work of God. Woo! I long to hear it. Is there an area in your heart that can only be explained by the power of God? There's a man. I'm done right here. There's a man. He was trying to fly. I believe it's Limber. He was trying to fly. The Spirit of Satan was across the world. And as he was flying, stopped to refuel, fly, stopped to refuel, fly. About halfway between points, this is what he heard. What is that, he thought? A rat. A rat has got on board my plane. And it's chewing something. What's it chewing? Possibly chewing hydraulics. Or a fuel line. I better turn around, but I'm halfway there. I mean, it's as far back as it is there. And if he chews through the fuel line, how many of y'all know, he ain't gonna. So he remembered. Rats are rodents. They have very small brains. They cannot take atmospheric pressure. So he said, I tell you what I thought I'd do. I just pulled back on the joystick and I went a little higher. Yep, that's what it is. It's slowing down. It ain't dead yet. But I think I'm going to go a little higher. And I pulled back on the joystick. And he went up to keep them. I don't know how many people, brother, but it's a blessing, amen. I appreciate you being here, son. You know what he heard when he got up there? Nah. He flew at that atmospheric height the rest of his journey. He descended to the airport to make his landing. When he cruised up to where he's to refuel, he said, I want to look in here to see if I've got a dead rat. Kept hearing him chewing something. Sure enough, picked him up. There he was. Dead in a hammer. Couldn't take the pressure of atmosphere. Preacher, what's your point? You're worrying about Satan's schemes that he's working in your life right now. I don't know what's going to happen. They're children. I don't know what's going to happen. They're going to get with the right boy. They're going to get with the right girl. What are we going to do about our job? How are we going to pay our bills? What about our health? What about my mama? What am I going to do about daddy? Oh, Lord, what about the church? Oh, I didn't shut the... And so-and-so said so-and-so said it. I didn't smile at them. And everybody knows I did. You saw it, didn't you? You was here. You, yeah. And I stood there. I hugged her neck. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to pull back on your joystick. And you need to go a little higher and pray. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Jesus is Savior! God is great! God is good! Worry will start with this. And if you want it to completely stop, you just tell the devil, oh God, strengthen my hands. Help me to quit quaking. I'm going even higher. You said you inhabit my praise. What? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Save him, Jesus. Thank you for being so good. Thank you for answering my prayer request. And get to praise. Yeah. And I'm telling you, worry cannot survive the celestial heights of praise. You want to resist Satan's schemes? You already said it, preacher. Pray. Preach. Praise the Lord. It's amazing how little we do that. At church, we were having one of them 24, 36 hours of prayer deal. Man, we got in there. We're just challenged. Got in there. Got in the Psalms, a couple of us in there. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. I just turned to that, amen. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, the Lord, hast done it. Woo! Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He giveth meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of the covenant. He sent redemption to His people. He's commanded His covenant forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. Woo! We can just have them. Just get to reading Psalms and get to praise Him. I'm telling you, you'll forget your worries behind. That's my message. The devil said, don't you preach that to them. Ain't nobody come to altar. Ain't nobody cares. You preach Nehemiah all week. They ain't even going to show up on Wednesday night. But I'm just daring to be different. Come down here and tell you, this is what God says. This is what He wants you to do. You know the devil's been scheming after you, and it's time for you to let God have His way in your life. Are you willing to say, God, would you strengthen my hand and help me with these schemes that's working in my life right now? You stand here. I'm going to ask you, would you come? I'm going to go to the altar myself because I worry too. I'm going to the altar myself. I'm going to keep talking until I get some of you. Come on. Come on. Join me tonight. Join me on the wall. Join me in the work. Come on right now. Bring your trowel. Bring your sword. Bring yourself. Show up. He that sounds the trumpet is with us tonight. Would you come to the altar and tell God, help me. We're being live. Help me. God, I'm here to praise you. God, help me tonight. Somebody come to the piano, please. Come on. People still coming. God, I'm going down there as praise to you. I'm just going to go down there and praise you for a while. Come on right now. Praise Him. God's been good. He fed you today. He lets you breathe today. He's taken care of your children today. Amen. God's been good. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, as once again we bow in your presence, Lord, may I confess to you my weakness, my feebleness, my ineptness. God, tonight I have hardly any discernment. God, all the discernment I have is of the Holy Ghost, and God, what I'm willing to receive of it. Father, I pray tonight, God, you'd help me, Lord, to get worry out of my hands and to get discernment into my hands. Help us, God, when the enemy comes to divide, when he comes to deplete, when he comes to discourage, when he comes to divide, to cause discord. Help us tonight, God, I pray, Lord, that our faith would be in you. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to take this trowel and this gospel sword and help us, God, to work. Help us, God, not to lift our heads, not even for that which is good, because what you've given us is that which is best. Lord, I'm asking you tonight, God, that you'd touch this people. You'd help them, God, to resist Satan's schemes. Help them, God, to get involved in the work of God. And help them, Lord, this woman, this lady, this mother, this grandmother, this daddy, oh God, this young person, God. Lord, you're calling them, God, to the place of service, to the place that's best, that place in reading, that place in praying, that place in praising your name. And the enemy, oh yes, how vile is he? He's pulling them away, trying to distract them, trying to give them a smokescreen, trying to get upset, trying to get them worried about things that are only being feigned in the devil's heart. God, I pray tonight, Father, you'd give them victory over this, God. Help them, Lord, tonight. Give them peace that passes all understanding, God. Help them, God, to go a little higher, Lord. Help them, God, tonight, God, I pray. Bless the Fletcher First Baptist Church, her dear pastor, God. I pray tonight, God, you'd help us by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, God. Give us victory. Complete the wall, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, for your glory, we're asking it. Amen and amen.